Liberals in particular see it as an admirable call to service, and it is both of these things. But what is often missed is the historical context and motivation. Kennedy was trying to recreate the unity of World War II in the same way FDR had tried to revive the unity of World War I. His declaration that we should put a man on the moon was not the result of Kennedy's profound farsightedness, nor even of his desire to wallop the Russians. Rather, it was his best option for finding a moral equivalent of war. He died for liberalism. All of this went down the memory hole after Kennedy's murder. Kennedy, the nationalistic third-wayer, was replaced by Kennedy, the fighting liberal. The JFK of Camelot eclipsed the one who had tried to assassinate Patrice Lumumba and Fidel Castro. Woodrow Wilson's grandson, Dean Francis Sayre, delivered a sermon at the Washington National Cathedral in homage to the fallen leader. "We have been present at a new crucifixion," he told the assembled dignitaries. "All of us," he explained, "have had a part in the slaying of our president. It was the good people who crucified our Lord, and not merely those who acted as executioners." Chief Justice Earl Warren declared that the president had an organic and mystical bond with the people. "He is chosen to embody the ideals of our people, the faith we have in our institutions, and our belief in the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man." 5 days after Kennedy's death, the new president, Lyndon Johnson, capped his address to a joint session of Congress by asking that Americans put an end to the teaching and the preaching of hate and evil and violence, and turn away from the apostles of bitterness and bigotry. Even after the nature of the assassination was more clear, the notion that hate and America's collective sin killed Kennedy endured. Washington's Methodist bishop, John Wesley Lord, declared that the nation needed to atone for Kennedy's death. Rather than naming monuments after Kennedy, the nation could more appropriately thank a martyr for his death and sacrifice by redoubling its commitment to liberal politics. Most historians view Kennedy and Johnson as representing the last gasp of traditional progressive politics, ending the era that began with Wilson and ran through the New Deal and the Fair Deal to the New Frontier and the Great Society. Programmatically, that's largely right, though it lets the very liberal Nixon off the hook. But the Kennedy presidency represented something more profound. It marked the final evolution of progressivism into a full-blown religion and a national cult of the state. From the beginning, Kennedy's presidency had tapped into a nationalistic and religious leitmotif increasingly central to American liberalism and consonant with the themes of both progressivism and fascism. The Kennedy action intellectuals yearned to be supermen, a Gnostic priesthood imbued with the special knowledge of how to fix society's problems. JFK's inaugural opened the decade with the proclamation that America was the agent of God and the possessor of godlike powers. "A man holds in his mortal hands the power to abolish all forms of human poverty and all forms of human life."